So let us take this moment to make time for going within. We're going to have our meditation. So at this time, if you choose to free your laps, allow the seat you're sitting in to support you. And take a deep breath. And let it out. And take another breath. And let it out. And just feel the life force move in your being from the crown of your head all the way down, neck and shoulders, into your chest and hips and legs and feet, and anywhere you feel any tension or resistance, just breathe, target those areas, and allow them to relax. And feel the love embracing you right now in this amazing sacred space that we have created here together. This space that has been prayed up before we entered this physical sanctuary. We feel the gratitude for our lives. We feel the gratitude for each other, for this ministry. And feel the gratitude for the opportunity to get still and come apart for just a while. Whatever was happening before you entered this space, even before this now moment, anything that perhaps troubled you, gave you reason to feel worry or doubt, know that right here, right now, in this present moment, that all is truly well. Remember that all things are indeed working together for your good. Scripture says it is working together for your good for those who love God. At this moment, allow that knowing to permeate your being. Even be willing to know it. If it feels different or strange to you, know that spirit is everywhere present, within, without. There is no place when it cannot be. And we know that that power and that presence that is everywhere present, the whole of it present at the same time, is breathing us right now. As we heard in the daily word, it is a choice. We can choose to know that we are expressions of peace. A peace that passes all understanding is ours for the claiming. Regardless of situation or circumstance, of the influence of another individual or individuals, regardless of the state of affairs in your being, in your household, on your block, in your neighborhood, in this city, in our country, across the waters, and throughout this planet, throughout this universe, whatever looks disturbing, whatever appears to not be peace, in fact, be anything other than peace, that is an appearance. We can call that a prayer request and surround whatever that is in love and light and choose to see it differently. And as we change our thinking and as we choose to see from eyes of spirit, influenced from the Christ presence, that indwelling presence that is in each and every one of us. What we know shifts. And we can begin to rest assured into knowing that God is. We are, because Spirit is. And taking a moment into the silence, we can affirm within, we can know for true that peace is ours, that we can express peace perfectly right here and right now. We can choose peace as we move into the silence.
Adrienne Buckley and Spiritus. Thanks, you guys. Wow. Yeah, wow. Look who's here. Wow. Would you be so kind and generous as to come, I don't know, inspire us if you're feeling up to it today? Carlos Wayne Anderson.
It is so good to be here. Ah, wow, I just got ministered to. Wasn't that meditation amazing? It was amazing. And the daily word, was that not amazing? Was not that song amazing? Isn't this place amazing? Aren't you amazing? You are so amazing. Somebody asked me during the Happy Sunday part, like, how I was doing. And we had already been instructed to sit down. So I said, I have to tell her how I'm doing in the briefest possible and the most truthful way. So all I said was, dying was the best thing that ever happened to me. It truly, truly was. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. Most of you know, or many of you know, that I've died twice recently. The most recent time was going in for a procedure in the hospital and having a reaction to the anesthesia. My system wasn't capable of just handling the anesthesia as something to put me to sleep for the procedure and then wake me up afterwards. So I went into full cardiac arrest and flatlined in the hospital. And so many miracles have come from that. One of the miracles is that I can't help it. Every single thing on this planet is beautiful to me. A broken bottle beside the road is so startlingly beautiful to me. Dust on my furniture is so beautiful. I get that the only reason why I'm going to wipe it off is because we're living in an agreement that I should. But I'm not doing it because I don't like it. As I go to wipe it off, I'm looking at the sun hitting off every tiny particle of that dust on my furniture. So I am constantly being startled by life, and I'm constantly saying to people, look at those clouds, look at that tree, oh my God. And I'm noticing that, you know, I heard the song years ago, everybody's beautiful in their own way. Well, now it is so in my face. It is just such an obvious thing to me that everyone and everything is so beautiful. When I flatlined and went into cardiac arrest, as a spirit, I went to another place, and that place was so beautiful that I, in street terms, I would say that The beauty there was so beautiful that it put the beauty on earth to shame. But I'm glad I didn't come back comparing this beauty to that beauty. I knew that I was supposed to take all of the beauty that I found there, all of the beauty that I absorbed there, I was to bring it back here. So life being startlingly beautiful is one thing I'm getting. Also, another gift to me was that I needed what I think all of us need is to not go around pretending we're going to last forever. We're going to be here forever. I know that we are eternal life and we will live forever, but we will not live forever in this incarnation and in this body system. So I think it's a good shake awake to have died, because I get every day that I'm living here by the grace of God. I do not take my heartbeat or my breathing for granted anymore. Every single day I'm consciously aware of what a gift it is to be able to suck air in and push it out, to suck it in again and push it out again, suck it in again and push it out again, on and on and on and on. I find myself periodically throughout the day reaching up here, and I get a big smile on my face, and I get a joy in my heart, and my heart chakra opens so wide that it pours out blessing throughout my body, because every time I reach up here, this little rascal is going to-doom, 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 to-doom. So that death was a shake-awake, and I'm so glad that I left the hospital, not only finding out that I'm in much better condition than I ever thought I was. I had not gone to the doctor in 22 years, so I just lived on the faith that I was healthy. And now they gave me some scientific evidence to back that faith up and said, well, buddy, you actually were right. Given your lifestyle and how you've lived all your years that you wrote down on your entrance papers when you came in here, we don't know why you're this healthy, but you are this healthy. And so Timothy said, well, next time you have an appointment with them, you tell them that you're healthy, because you, Carlos, are the person I know that I have known for 28 years. I've seen you through all of your ups and downs. I've seen you pray with faith that your mother, that your sister, that your people you care about would live. And I have seen many of them take their last breath. And I've wondered if this time you would stop praising for a while, if this time you would stop working for God for a while. Maybe this time you will get defeated, get brought down. But I see you, for some doggone reason, just keeping on, keeping on. And not begrudgingly, but excitingly. I have told people that you can take what upsets you and you can turn it into what excites you. And I have been living that proof to the best of my ability all of my life. It was upsetting to me when my father died. It was upsetting to me when my mother died. It was upsetting to me when my sister died, when my brother died, when my partner died, when my relatives died. It was upsetting to me, but I did everything I could to turn what upset me into what excited me. Well, how can you get excited at the loss of people that you love? You can get excited to know that living here on this planet is a finite thing. We called it the last time I was here or the time before that. It's not a phrase that I coined. I don't remember whether it came from Joel Osteen or from Eric Butterworth or from whoever, but it was a parenthesis in eternity. Might have even been Charles Fillmore. But we are here living a parenthesis in eternity. So having the faith that my father, my mother, my sister, my brother, my partner, all of these people that I love, having the faith that that love is everlasting, and having the faith that they are somewhere and that I will be reunited with them at some point, allows me to get that I'm only here briefly, and this is not my home. So I get excited about what I can do to forward heaven on planet Earth while I'm here. I get to look at what my daddy did and what my mom did in their ways to forward heaven on planet Earth. And I get to say, nobody knew my sister was going to have an asthma attack and that it would end her life. So nobody knows when my life is going to end. So while I'm here, I want to do what I came here for. I said the last time I was here, I used to think that the reason why I was here was to be as intelligent as I could, to be as emotionally stable as I could, to make as much money as I could, to have a good house, to have a good car, to have a good family, and to actually have a lot of things, a lot of stuff. One time I was praying to God for all this stuff, and God whispered in my ear, "You have contacted the wrong office. I am in charge of things eternal. Temporal things, right to the North Pole. Santa Claus is in charge of temporal things. Come to me for things eternal. I can give you what Santa can't give you, and he can give you what I can't. I can't give you your new diamond ring, and I can't give you your new house or your new car. That's not my department. But if you want peace that passes all earthly understanding, you come to me. If you want joy that flows like a river, you come to me. If you want courage that allows you to keep putting one foot in front of another foot in front of another foot, marching even through the valley of the shadow of death, you come to me. I am in charge of these departments." It corrected me. I realized that I had been writing through my praying a lot of letters to God that were not God's department. I took them back and said, if I want stuff, I've got to write to Santa Claus. So many gifts from having died. But I want to talk to you about another death that I experienced before that death. First of all, let me get to my talk title, which is Marvel Not. I chose Marvel Not from a story in the scriptures where a rabbi Nicodemus, a very learned rabbi, who knew probably more than the other rabbis around town, but when he met Jesus, he heard Jesus teaching about forwarding heaven on planet Earth. He heard Jesus saying things like, what somebody does you wrong, do them right. If somebody hits you on one side of your head, allow them to hit you on the other side of the head. If somebody rips off your coat, give them your jacket. He said all of these tough teachings that confused the rabbi. But the rabbi was more confused not by what he said, but by who he was. This guy was in bliss. He was in heaven on planet Earth, and not even the very learned peoples of God were able to remain in heaven on earth as a constant thing. They fluctuated like we fluctuate. So how do you keep this unwavering calm, Jesus? So Nicodemus visited him to ask him this question. What's your secret? What is the secret to being in heaven on earth? What is the secret to being like a tree planted by the waters that cannot be moved by the changing things of time and circumstance? What is your secret with being so filled with light that your shadow can heal people? What is your secret? Jesus begins his secret with the words, marvel not. Marvel not means don't get freaked out by about what I'm about to say. Just don't wig out on me. Marvel not. You must be born again. Your first birth got you here. But your second birth, which you are responsible for, can get you into heaven while you're here. Your birth through your mom, a product of your dad, got you here. But it's the second birth that gets you into the fullness of your authority of who you are and whose you are while you're here. Marvel not that that one birth cannot usher you into heaven. Your mom did her part. Now it's your turn. You must give rise to the self you want to be. When I was in the Pentecostal church, in the summertime, all of the people who had decided to turn their lives over to God got together and we would have a baptism service. Everybody would put on white robes and the ministers, my father included, would be lined up in the creek and the people would line up in their white robes. What does baptism mean in the Pentecostal church? It simply put was this. They said they believed, they truly believed that you could walk into the water as who you think you are and who you have thought you are all your life. And you can be simply ducked under the water, a few words spoken, and the person that comes up out of the water is not the person who went in. They have been born again. They have been changed into a completely new identity. That speaks to my first birth. At the end of this month, on the 31st of this month, it will mark 2 years since I heard a voice in my bedroom. I was in my bedroom, and like I said, I'm always have been the kind of guy that's going to try to turn everything that upsets me into what excites me. I'm always the kind of guy that's going to jump back up as soon as he can and dust himself off and keep on going. And I was at this time up against something that was bigger than anything I had experienced. And I'm going to have to go on and say anything that I've experienced in 27 years. 27 years ago when Johnny Earl, my partner, died, I kept on preaching, I kept on singing, I kept on going to choir rehearsal and teaching new songs. I kept paying my bills, I kept doing what I had to do in the grocery store. I appeared on the outside to be alive, but my true testimony is that on the inside, I was dead. I was the walking dead. I used to go out on my deck and wonder when I was going to be happy about the sunshine again. Was I ever going to love the sound of birds singing again? Was I ever going to cry just because of the beauty of flowers again? The creek is bubbling back there. Why do I have no urge to go down there and put my feet in there? I loved that. So I made it through that. Some people said that I was telling somebody one time, it took me 3 years to get over Johnny Earl. It may have been Paul that I was speaking to. And he just looked at me and went, it was longer than that. And I went, no, I think it was about 2 or 3 years. Carlos, the you that I've always seen looking back at me from your eyes, he did not reemerge for about 7 years fully. Well, when my sister died 2 years and 9 months ago, I had never experienced anything like it. I kept thinking I made a mistake with Johnny Earl. I blended too closely with him. I got too tight with him. I just loved him way too much. Oh, my God, I felt like I am him. So now I feel like a half a person. I am Carlos and Johnny. Who is just this Carlos guy? I can keep on doing it. I can keep on presenting. I can lift you up, but I can't lift me up. So to hear that it took 7 years before somebody who knows me very well finally felt that I was fully back in the fullness of my joy. When my sister died, her and Johnny Earl are the only two people I've ever loved like that. So when Crystal died, I'm sitting 9 months later. I'm doing the same thing. I'm preaching. I'm teaching. Nobody in Unity churches anywhere I go knows that my heart is broken. Nobody in my neighborhood knows that my heart is broken. I save that stuff for private times when I'm alone in my room. And then I cry or I sit there lifeless, saying the prayer of Job, all of my appointed time, I will wait for my change to come. And so 2 years ago, sitting on my bed, I'm thinking, I cannot go through this for 7 years. I cannot be absent for 7 years again. I'm going to have to get on a really fast track of healing and reemerging in my fullness. And so I told some of you, I decided to write a list, and the list said you've got to bathe in Himalayan pink salt like every night, and you've got to get Reiki treatments every day, and you've got to get 4 massages a day and some deep rolfing to get this stuff out of your muscles, and you've got to change your diet, and you've got to go on vacation, and you've got to do this and this and this. And when I looked at my list, I can't afford those things monetarily. I can't pay a massage therapist $65 twice a week and go to Reiki for $40 a week. And I can't buy that much pink Himalayan salt. I've checked the prices on that stuff. And I can't take a vacation. I need a roof on the house. And then I'm writing, and the time it would take to do all those things. And I'm feeling, but I go, I will not go on broken as long as I refuse to. And then I heard a voice saying, you have to let him go. Who? Carlos. I am Carlos. You are who you think you are. And the Carlos you have thought you have been all these years is a really good soldier, but he's tired. You have to let him go.
What do you mean, let him go? You have to let him die. What do you mean, let him die? I am him. I'm not suggesting you commit suicide. I'm suggesting you let the identification that you have carried of who you are go, die. What'll happen if it dies? What'll happen if I let Carlos, as I know him to be, die? A new Carlos will rise to take his place. And then I began to think of Neil Donald Walsh's material, where he said that every day and every moment offers us an opportunity to create ourselves anew in the grandest version of the greatest vision we have ever had of who we are. You see, Carly was a good soldier. He had made it through a whole lot. And so the voice suggested that I write him a letter, write Carlos a letter telling him what a good soldier he was. Think back to the 1950s. He was born in 51. Think your earliest memories, the first time you were hurt, the first time you were molested, the first time you were scared, the first time you were confused. Think of all those times that he kept on marching through and thank him, what a good soldier. And then what do? After that, I want you to write your obituary. Oh my God, my obituary, yeah, it's different from the letter, but write the obituary you want in the paper, okay? And then what? And then I want you to go outside, and there was snow piled high outside. I want you to go outside, get the shovel, dig a hole in the fire pit section of the yard, and then I want you to set fire to the obituary and the letter to Carlos, and I want you to throw them into the fire pit, and I want you to stand there until they turn to pure ash, and then I want you to go back inside, get in the bed, and go to sleep. And hearing the voice came to me. I'm sorry, it didn't come on the very last day. It came like about 7 days before that, so I had some time to do this. On the seventh day, I started writing my obituary. I started right away writing my letter to Carlos for being such a good soldier, thanking him so much for everything he had done. Oh, my God, the fact that you didn't hate that person after what they did to me, that shows me what a good soldier you are, dude. The times when you didn't have a cent in your pocket and you just kept walking down the streets of New York smiling at people as though you had fat cash in your pockets. The times where you didn't have enough money to take the subway to get from Harlem to the village where you were going to the Negro Ensemble Company, and everybody else after class would go out for drinks and sandwiches, and you always just said, no, think I'll get home and study my lines, when the real reason was not having had subway fare there, you sure weren't going to be able to go out for a sandwich and a drink with the rest of the rich people in your class. You've been a good soldier. Well, I think I told you that I had no faith in the process, but I just knew I was going to do what it said. It had convinced me that Carlos Wayne Anderson was a story I have been telling myself. The story included everything from its earliest times. So one of the good soldier part of Carlos was that he was molested quite a number of times by a number of people when he was little, and he just made it through. What a good soldier. Didn't hate him. Tried to love him. Tried to forgive him. What a good soldier. But the voice said, I want you to step into something new. On the 31st of December, 2 years ago, I had completed the letter to myself, and I had completed my obituary. I did as instructed. I went outside. I dug a hole in the snow. I set fire to these two pieces of paper, and I put them in. I waited until they turned to ash. I went inside. I got out of my outside clothes, hopped into my Snuggies, got in bed, pulled the covers up, and my thought was, I hope this makes some sort of a positive difference. When I woke up the next day, the first thing I noticed was there was no physical constriction going on in my body. I have lived since I was 28 years old, having to go to massage therapists and Rolfers and whoever. I carried so much tension in my body that Timothy is my witness. Every time we encountered a massage therapist, they would put their hands on me and say, how do you walk around smiling. You are like steel. There are so many knots in your body. How do you keep smiling? Practice, practice, practice. All of that was gone. It was never gone. Even when I was on a massage table or a Rolfer's table, I was aware that they had made some difference, and I was grateful for it and happy to pay for it, but it was gone. For 2 years now, I have not had even the slightest little crick in my neck. I have not had the slightest little knot in my shoulders. I have never had a single moment of being in physical distress other than when I am in the dentist chair and he's doing his thing on me. Somebody said, "You feel no pain?" I said, "I carry no pain." I found out that I do still feel pain when I went to my first dental appointment. I feel pain big time. But I carry no pain. Since that time, I have not had a day where I've ever been afraid of anything. I've had some very threatening things happen. They continue to happen. There's a guy that has told everyone he's going to one day show up at my house and kill me. He carries a false memory. A false memory. He has a memory of me kidnapping him in one town, duct taping his mouth, his arms, and his legs, throwing him into my car, driving him back to my house, and having other people beat him up. It never occurred. I ran into him in a store one day. I knew him when he was a teenager. And I hadn't seen him in 20 years. And when I walked into the store, he went, "There you are." And he turned around to everyone in the store and announced to them that, "I'm going to kill this guy one of these days," because I thought he was joking. He kidnapped me. He duct taped me. And I'm like, "Dude, quit joking around." And he believes it. He was on so many drugs back in his teenage years. I don't know whether he dreamed it, had a memory of it. He believes it. He has been threatening my life for a long time. He has gone to all kinds of people that I know and volunteered the information to them. "You're a friend of Carlos, right?" "Yeah, well, one of these days I'm going to go to his house and I'm going to kill him. He kidnapped me. He duct taped me. He had people beat me up. The police have shown up at our house just doing a welfare check because ran into another person who said that this young man is out to kill you. And it's not the first time in my neighborhood that somebody has been out to kill me." The good soldier was just a good soldier about it. He was afraid, though, but he was a good soldier. Now I'm not in any fear about it. It's a what is. Do you want to press charges? Do you want to have a sign up for? No, I don't want to get involved in the dance at all. I have not been confused. I have not been afraid. I have not been upset. I have just been in heaven on planet Earth. And the reason is because I was able to really get that I gave up a story. The story of Carlos Wayne Anderson, born October 16th, 2:22 in the afternoon, 1951, in Springfield, Illinois, to Norma Jean and Laverne Anderson, the second of their soon-to-be four children. That was my story. My molestation, which occurred after the occurrence, became my story. In the moment, it was my experience. After the moment, it was part of my story, a significant part of my story. A significant piece of who I am, a significant reason why therapy would be needed, psychiatric work would be needed, more workshops would be needed, more laying on of hands would be needed, more Reiki would be needed. After all, did you read his story? And so I feel like I was just born January 1st, 2015. I secretly called myself C-2015, as opposed to Carlos, born in 1951. I can think of everything and anything that occurred to Carlos, and I have no emotional response to any of it. It's as though I read about it in a book, and my heart went out to this guy in the book. But his stuff is not my stuff. I've only been accumulating stuff for 2 years, and let me tell you this, once you have become a new person, you don't accumulate because you know enough not to. I know that my job here is to observe and not absorb. Most of us are here absorbing. The witness posture, taking yourself out of who you think you are, who you are convinced you are, taking the witness posture, observing, not absorbing. Sometimes you will observe yourself absorbing, and then you can stop. That's getting away from yourself and knowing that you are the Christ mind in you. And the Daily Word said something about letting the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ, the love of Christ be reborn. You can't be reborn if you're unwilling to die. A death must precede a rebirth. I want to tell you that if the story of who you are contains pain, grief, upset, fear, anxiety, as long as you think of yourself as who you are and your story as being your own, you lock these things in place. In this very moment, in any given moment, you are free to create yourself anew in the next grandest version of the greatest vision you have ever held of who you are and who it is possible for you to be. To be reborn, you've got to die. I've told you two of my experiences, and one of them was a physical experience of death for a little while. Thank Jesus. I'm so glad I came back. I am super glad. They had left the room to get a defibrillator to try to bring me back, but by the time they found one and got back, I had done come back. I like that about me. If your story contains so much pain, so much confusion, so much requirements for therapy, so much requirements for healing, so much requirements for being put back together after falling apart again and go back and get put back together, I want you to just consider what a good soldier you are. And consider if it might not be possible for you to actually take on a new identity here at Unity called the consciousness of Christ. You can call it the consciousness of your higher self. You can just choose to call it your next self, your now current self. 2015, by the way, does not have any of the anxieties that Carlos had. That good soldier, every time he went anywhere, everybody perceived him as such an extrovert, when every test he had ever done revealed that he was an extreme introvert who had learned as a small child to pretend to be an extreme extrovert. He was pretending and fooled everybody but himself. My social anxiety was so bad. My social anxiety disorder all of my life is so bad. People who live with me, hung out with me, they were startled and amazed to see me standing at the door, wanting to just go to the store. Okay, I can do this. Nobody knew but me. But when I woke up January 1st, 2015. I don't have social anxiety disorder. He had it. I'm not easily confused. he was. All kinds of stuff. That was him. This is me. I thought I had to be him for the rest of my life. But I got to let him die. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You can't just dust yourself off, polish yourself up, and live in heaven on earth, because you'll still be you, dusted off and polished up. And you don't have to flatline and go into full cardiac arrest. You can simply join me in realizing that you are a story you have been telling yourself. You can keep all the joyous things if you want, and you can even keep the painful things, but keep them as evidence of what you've made it through, of what strengthened you. You must be born again. Don't get freaked out by the fact that just being born into your physical reality wasn't enough to birth you into the kingdom, queendom, moredom, alldom of heaven while you're on planet Earth. I stand before you as evidence of one who was lost and got found, one who was blind and made to see again. Once was deaf, and now I can hear the music of the angels, especially when I'm alone and there's no sound in the room. Do I love the crick in my backyard and the sounds of birds? Oh, my God, every day sweeter. Every day deeper, every day sweeter, every day deeper. I was required to give birth to the new me. When I think about my mom, Johnny Earl, my brother, all of those people, every time I thought of them, there was a little ache in my heart, a little longing. And now when I think of them, there is only gratitude, so much that it bubbles over like a cup running over. Marvel not that I say unto you, if you want to keep being who you are, then keep being a good soldier. But you do have a way out. You can choose a brand new identity. As I said at the beginning, in the Pentecostal church, it was a matter of truly believing. I saw them dunk some people under that water when I was a little, that I had never seen any way but drunk and on dope. I saw them dunk them down and pull them up, and I saw them become a brand new person. They didn't just get a grip on their eating and cut back on their mess. They were no longer addicted. They were no longer desirous. Some of them, I remember telling Daddy, should be born again. Because even though he ain't no drunk no more, he's still mean as can be. And my daddy said, so do you have to get born again just one more time? My dad goes, not if you got any sense. If you got any sense, you'll be getting born again every day. You'll be doing like John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that Christ can increase. So the self me, the ego me, the personality me, I must decrease so that the light that I truly am, the Christ of me, can increase. Paul of the scriptures put it this way, I count it as a blessing to die every day to myself, that I might be born every day into the Christ of my being. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear, and that there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. The Word of God through the Son of God in behalf of the daughters and sons of God. Namaste.